Brahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I would like to get us ready for some breaking news. I would like to play the music for The Source if we can, because I feel like it will get you in the mood, Marshall Harris. It will get you in the mood for the foosball.
Is that a Waterboy reference?
It is.
Okay.
And in this case, it is not the devil. Also a Waterboy
reference.
Foosball's
the devil.
Do we have it, Tyler Buterbaugh? Let's do it. That's right. According to the football man of the Chicago Tribune and a valued friend of the morning show, Brad Biggs, who talks football with you. He says the Bears have a deal in place with Ozzie Trapillo, the other of the three second-round picks. So now we're down to one.
Luther Burden III.
But the good news is we can put that to rest. The concern about whether or not the 6'8 potential left tackle to start the season, if Braxton Jones isn't ready to go, Karan Amagaji isn't the dude, and now he's signed, sealed, and will be delivered, I assume, Saturday, whenever the Bears rookies can report to camp.
My overall concern has waned, but I still, like, especially after talking to Adam Hogue and Adam Johns, the Luther Burden III concern is still at an alert level.
Let's not do DEFCON, because that's only five numbers and confuses people.
Yeah, because they don't know which way is up and which way is down.
Correct. On a scale of 1 to 10.
On Luther Burden III, I'm a 6.
All right.
Which is enough.
It is. It's sufficient. That breaking news here on The Score, by the way, was brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. So, Shamar Turner signed this morning, according to Brad Biggs and others, and now Ozzie Trapillo. It's coming together. Coming together.
And now Ozzie Trapillo is going to go out there on day one and should be the starting reps left tackle. Not the starter, but the guy who's getting all the starting reps, because Braxton Jones, as we know, was never expected to be ready to go at the start of training camp.
Correct.
I can't believe we're talking about training camp and it's like about to happen, yeah. As opposed to, you know, when they get back to House Hall for training camp. No. They're reporting in 2 days, the rookies are.
That 6 weeks went fast because time flies when you're watching decent baseball.
Ooh, that's a new one.
It's true, though.
But it's also true.
I mentioned this before we went to commercial. Ken Rosenthal with the latest as we also get ready for the trade deadline here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And Marshall, it was the second paragraph in his article on The Athletic that referred to what you did. It says, after investing in a combined $107 million in free agent relievers, Tanner Scott, Blake Treinen, and Kirby Yates, the Dodgers are expected to pursue bullpen help, according to sources briefed on the team's plans.
My favorite part of this, Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, hates overpaying at the deadline and constructed his 2025 roster with the express purpose of avoiding such a fate. Looks like he'll be shopping again anyway.
Also, there's a Michael Kopech update in here. He says Kopech, whose season production amounts to 7 scoreless innings in June, is on track to return next month from surgery to repair a damaged meniscus in his right knee, which, you know what that led me to think about? That game he had against the Orioles where he hurt his knee and then went out there and kept pitching.
Because that's what you got to do sometimes.
In the Sox case, they didn't necessarily have to. But there's also news in here about who the Cubs will face next, and that is the Boston Red Sox. I remember a time 7 years ago where Charlie Morton said he was retiring. Now he's 41 years old. And Rosenthal mentions him and says Morton, 41, was the symbol of the Orioles' early season collapse, posting a 10.89 ERA in his first five starts. But over his last 59 innings dating back to April 29th, his ERA is 3.05. He says the Red Sox would love to do better, and perhaps they will, but the starting pitching market is thin, and Sox manager Alex Cora is familiar with Morton from the 2017 Houston Astros. With Brian Bello and Lucas Giolito on a roll, Giolito starts tomorrow, you guys. Perhaps the Sox would be okay with someone like Morton rather than a pure and possibly unattainable number two starter. This helps us. We're trying to define the market, and I feel like this is a good indicator of trying to make it make sense.
Tell me Charlie Morton would be a good option for the Cubs as well.
What are you giving up in a seller's market to get a guy who's 41 who you don't necessarily know what he's going to give you?
I mean, if he gives me what he's been giving me since April 29th. April 29th is not May 29th or June 29th. It's April 29th. He's clearly straightened out whatever was going wrong.
I know, but at the end of the day, he's still 41, and that concerns me. Here we are talking about Andrew Heaney and what that means for him at 34 in our previous segment. Seth Lugo, to a lot of people, is a gamble based on his age at 36, even though he's had such a great resume. Morton's 41.
No. Seth Lugo's still at the top of my list, but I think he's at the top of a lot of teams' lists as well, and that's the problem. You don't want to get in a bidding war unless you can win the bidding war and feel good about it.
The Orioles are also listening on closer Felix Bautista, who is under club control for two additional seasons. I think if he goes anywhere, he probably goes to the Phillies. They need help in the reliever department. And here's this on Luis Robert. The problem for the White Sox... Well, let's start with this. In his recent midseason awards column, The Athletic's Jason Stark named Chicago White Sox center fielder Luis Robert his least valuable player.
LVP, baby!
The problem for the White Sox is that they might face little choice but to move Robert anyway. There seems virtually no chance of the team exercising Robert's $20 million option for 2026. A trade would be the only way to get something back, however meager. His 190 batting average is the second lowest among qualifiers after Michael Conforto's 184. Perhaps a team such as the San Diego Padres, who already have Gavin Sheets, by the way, would take Robert if the White Sox included a portion of his remaining salary, something the team has indicated a willingness to do. But even then, the White Sox could not count on getting much of a return. Robert's value keeps sinking, and time is running out.
Layla, do you know what the most interesting thing about this article was? The back. A wild and crazy idea. Tucker, as in Kyle Tucker, in Tampa Bay. Did you hear? I want you to let that really wash over you. Kyle Tucker in Tampa Bay. And here's what Rosenthal says. The thought might not be as preposterous as it sounds, depending upon how much Patrick Zalupski is willing to spend on players after plunking $1.7 billion or so for the team. Tucker, 28, is a native of Tampa. The Rays are a good bet to escape the final 8 years of Wander Franco's 11-year, $180 million contract if Franco is unable to leave the Dominican Republic after being found guilty in that country of sexual abuse of a minor. And even under owner Stuart Sternberg, they've occasionally tried to go big in free agency, most notably during the 21-22 offseason when they reportedly offered Freddie Freeman 6- and 7-year deals in the $140 to $150 million range as a free agent. Tucker figures to command at least three times that much, maybe more. The range might be far out of Zalupski's comfort zone, but what better way for a new owner to announce his intentions than by signing the best free agent available? Big splash.
Yeah, free agency, sure. But
No, the Cubs aren't trading Kyle Tucker, but I'm saying that's the last thing they need is more teams with the financial wherewithal to say we'll go after the big fish.
I feel like that would be the case, though. You're right. That is, if you're a new owner and you want to make a splash a la Steve Cohen, to say the least, then perhaps that would be the case. So I don't... If you're Kyle Tucker, you want more bidders, not less. So I think that makes it make sense.